This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Wake up! It's time to wake on up. Wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Dribbles far side. Curry takes the pass for post. Dribbles far side. Leaves Shed behind. Drives in, dishes out. Kuminga there. Curry got nailed. He's hurt. He's on the floor. Curry got hit and went down hard. He is in pain right now. Trying to get back up. And Toronto calls a timeout. Curry is spread out, face down on the floor. This is not good. Not good at all.
No, Tim Roy, it is not. Tim Roy on the call last night right here on 95.7 The Game. But a win nonetheless for the Golden State Warriors, 117-114 over the Toronto Raptors. They improved to 41-29 on the season, 23-14 at home. Huge nights for Jimmy Butler with a triple-double, Draymond Green with some huge shots, 7 of 18 overall for him, 21 points to lead all scorers for the Golden State Warriors. Quentin Post getting it done off the bench, Joe Shasky, 18 points for him. As I say, good morning to you, good morning to Carter, Sam Lubman, all you lovely people here on a non-payday Friday, but a Friday nonetheless. And, you know, we open up with that call because that, you got to hold your breath when stuff like that happens. They're calling it a pelvic contusion as Stephen Curry fell hard on his tailbone yesterday. There was a thud. That call didn't do it justice. You watch the television call. You hear it. The bang on the floor. Should have been a foul call as he got bodied by two Toronto defenders there. But non-call nonetheless. The Raptors get the ball back. They had to do a quick foul. I think it was Guy Santos that did it. So they had to get Curry checked. He was laying on the floor for a few minutes and, you know, Steve Kerr talked about it after the game. He wanted to come back in, you know, and then they decided against it. And we're going to see today. Maybe that was adrenaline. We don't know. They're going to take an MRI, and we'll see any reports that happens. But they're calling it a pelvic contusion, Joe Shasky. As I say, good morning to you. A scary moment yesterday in a big win, though, for the Golden State Warriors.
I don't know. He says he wanted to come back in, or Kerr said he wanted to come back in. Who knows? Like that, we'll find out. I think we all said the same thing. Not goose, not duck, 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 goose, but we were saying something very close to that.
Yeah.
At least that's what I was saying. And we're crossing our fingers. We don't want it to be a fracture or a hairline fracture or anything like that. You know, 2021, Houston, COVID, metal stands were pulled out. He kind of fell down. It didn't even seem that violent, but because it's metal, he ended up, you know, smacking his tailbone, and it was a... It was a big injury, and it really like hampered his legs and everything and his lower body, and would he miss about 5 games?
Yeah.
Like, if I had to guess, I mean, a minimum a week? could be months.
Right, exactly.
You know, so who knows? So we're crossing our fingers, all right? That being said, and I know nobody wants to hear this because Curry is the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, whoever you want to put all in one for a lot of people. I think that there is... like a silver lining to this. And just hear me out here. Hear me out here. The young guys yesterday played galvanized ball. Pajemski was spectacular.
Impressive win.
Kuminga had moments in this game. And he had moments of frustration, but moments in this game. And Quinn Post.
Yeah.
And then the headliners, the suspendables. Draymond Green is playing the best offensive and defensive basketball, both ends of the floor, since 2016.
He had 14 three-point attempts real quick yesterday.
He was incredible.
That is insane.
And it brings me back.
He made five of them.
It brings me back to Jimmy, 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 Jimmy. And I'm telling you this right now. Every single game that Jimmy Butler plays, he's going to be flirting with a triple-double with the Golden State Warriors. His floor game is outstanding. End of the game, you need a stop. The alpha of alphas gets you a stop. At the end of the game, when you needed to kind of slow things down and be methodical, and everyone is freaking out about what's going on with Steph Curry.
Yep.
He said, give me the ball. We're going to get big shots. I thought Kuminga hit a big bucket late. And I love the way Jimmy holds the teammates accountable. I do. There's a Tom Brady element to it.
Oh, my God.
I thought he was going to kill Dee Santos on the floor. And you know what? I'm not mad at him. There was a moment where Draymond was going to kill Jonathan Kuminga on the floor. And I say this flippantly. I don't want to.
No,
you know,
it's
like, he was so angry with Kuminga on a switch, which is fine. Like, these guys need to be held accountable. That was a win. They lose with Steph going down the way that he did 10 out of 10 times before Jimmy Butler gets here. And I got to credit the suspendables. These two are unbelievable. Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. I felt like they willed this team to a victory. And the difference with Draymond Green, obviously there's the whole decisiveness offensively and him ripping threes from all points on the floor, not just the corner, but the way that these guys are playing alongside of the youngsters. Moody with some contributions defensively. Kuminga with big rebounds. Pajemski early in the game, late in the game, kind of stabilizing things. And Quinton Post, I'm going to die on the Quinton Post Hill. I am. Quinn Post has got to play. I was going to lose my mind on Steve Kerr when about 6-7 minutes ago, he yanks Quinton Post for Kevon Looney. I understand why. And then he went to Gee before he went to Kuminga. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What Quinn Post is cooking. He's cooking. He's hitting threes all over the place. And he's playing nasty defense. Like, you've got to stay committed to Quinton Post. I know you love Looney. I do too. But in that game where he's got it going, you ride it out until you get to that final five. And you know, whatever that final five was, yesterday it was Pajemski. I think it was Moody, Kuminga, Draymond, and Jimmy. And I love that lineup. If that's your final five, fine. You don't need to shoehorn Looney in for a couple of minutes. How clunky did the offense get? And I'm not trying to rip Looney.
No,
matchups matter. Form matters. Post is cooking.
It's a young, athletic, big Toronto Raptors team. Jakob Poeltl, I thought, was balling in that game.
He was. I want Jakob Poeltl.
8-9, 18 points for him, 8 boards. Scotty Barnes was doing his thing. Emmanuel Quickley, he gets some shots. He can get to the rim. I know you think he's empty calories, but he had a good game overall. I thought Jamal Shedd off the bench. I mean, Jimmy Butler blocked him late. I thought he was key for them as well in Toronto. That was a scrappy game.
Poor
and a scrappy
man's
team.
Fred VanVleet.
Right. Not bad. Not bad. Fred VanVleet is a big shots, though. I mean, we all
barrel chested.
Exactly. But I'll give you that. But this is the recipe for me. And we talked about it yesterday, Joe Shasky, in the last hour of the show. I was like, can we trust these young guys come playoff time? That's going to be the key. right? It's going to be the Pajemskis of the world making big shots. It's going to be the Kamingas of the world making big shots. It's going to be Quentin Post making big shots. We know what we're going to get. I know what I'm going to get with Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and Stephen Curry. Knock on wood, Steph's injury isn't going to be lingering that much. I know we're going to get with those three championship type of players. But Pajemski knocking open threes early in that game and building confidence. Quentin Post, whenever he just attempts a three, I think it's going in now.
He's such a stud.
Which is incredible considering he's a rookie that was thought to be an afterthought just a couple months ago. We had Anthony Slater on our station saying he's 2 years away. 2 years away.
He's a flamethrower.
And now he's 2 months away from being on a deep playoff run potentially and being a focal point of an offense in a big that desperately needs it. Jonathan Kuminga, yeah, it was a mixed bag yesterday. He was 1-5 from beyond the arc, 7-15 overall. He had a couple of assists. He had a couple of steals. I thought he was active. I thought that was one of his better games. And he had a big bucket late in that game.
Big rebounds.
Big rebounds. Like, he was making some clutch plays late in that game, which, again, they're going to need come playoff time. And if Stephen Curry is going to miss some time coming up here, they're desperately going to need a Jonathan Kuminga, even though, again, this is kind of a soft part of the schedule. If Steph is going to miss some time, you know, you got the Hawks, you got the Heat, Pelicans, Spurs. I'm not here to say it's all sugarcoating. Hopefully Steph doesn't miss any time, right? But you're going on this road trip, and it's not exactly world beaters you're going to be playing going forward. But overall, just a huge win.
It's a monster win.
To wrap up a homestand at 6-1, what did I say, Joe Shasky, when
it
started? Anything less than 6-1,
you called it.
Not good enough. They went 6-1 on this homestand. Huge. And now?
And the T-Wolves lost.
The T-Wolves lost. And just the Jimmy Butler era, man. They don't lose. Two times they've lost. Was it 16-2 now? 16-2 in the Jimmy Butler era.
And you're a game and a half up on the Clippers.
Clippers have won four in a row.
6-7 spot. Like, you're sitting pretty right now. You got to just keep going. Look, there are things in life that happen, and there are unintended consequences, right? You can call them silver linings, whatever. Like, no one wants Steph out, right? But the reality is, if you've watched the last 2 weeks, although he has moments of brilliance, there are times where they are a little too Steph-reliant. And I think that some of the younger players can help contribute more. And I think the unintended consequence, or the silver liner, however you want to put it.
Blessing in disguise.
Fine.
You want to say that?
That's fine. I'll categorize it however you want. Kuminga needs to get his footing if they want to go anywhere. We can nitpick Kuminga's game all we want, but we would all acknowledge this team is going to need him to contribute and feeling comfortable on both ends of the floor. So without Steph Curry, now Kuminga, however long it is, and we're hoping it's not a season ender, obviously that'd be terrible.
No, yeah.
But let's say it's a couple weeks.
The fact that he was walking and wanted to get back in tells me that the back injury wasn't that severe, hopefully.
We'll see.
But again, you're running on adrenaline, like you're all, exactly. We don't know.
But Kuminga needs to get up to speed, all right? And he's playing a little better right now. Quinn Post needs to play, period. And I think if you're going to be forced to play some more clunkier lineups, you're going to have to find shooting somewhere, and he provides that, and spacing. And I think he opens the floor up for others. Draymond Green, when he's assertive in shooting, he hits shots from the corner, he hits shots from the top of the key, he hits shots from the elbow extended.
He attempted 14 three-pointers.
I'm not mad at it.
When's the last time he ever did that? Can we get on that, please, in the back? When's the last time he attempted 14 three-point shots?
When he hits a second half three, not a first half three, a second half three, it's like Popeye getting his spinach.
Oh.
He did one where he like pointed the finger and went like that up on somebody. I don't even know what he was doing. he almost like blacks out after he hits a shot. But there's a version of him that becomes even more tenacious defensively. He made a play like a free safety yesterday on a transition bucket that was unbelievable. I mean, it reminded me of the Richard Sherman play up in Seattle against Michael Crabtree, because he was like up in the air.
He missed on the offensive end that he came all the way back and made a huge play. Fitz was going nuts on the broadcast.
Draymond is playing, I'm telling you, the best both ends basketball for the last month and a half since 2016. It's inarguable. I don't care what anyone. He's maybe played better stretches of just defense, not offense. He was carrying you. Then Jimmy Butler was just an unbelievable. He had rebounds down straight late. He was methodical. They didn't turn it over recklessly. They got shots. Now, they missed some shots. They weren't the greatest. But they get good looks in the half court more times than not when they run the offense through Jimmy. And I think that Jimmy needs to be the anchor, whether Steph's on the floor or not. This is isn't controversial. I'm being real here. Steph can carry you for long stretches, and there's going to be games where he's going to get the ball down the stretch. But I think it's a blessing in disguise that Jimmy gets to kind of acclimate himself and get the others involved. They play smarter, better basketball in the half court with 4 minutes to go when Jimmy is the protagonist, if you will, the guy who's setting things up, the playmaker. Doesn't mean he's taking the shots, but he's setting things up for you. You got great looks. Moses Moody's looking good lately. Podziemski's playing well. They're firing on all cylinders, and I think of all the things, like, yes, Steph being out, it's not the end of the world. I think it could be good for the collective of this team right now.
And we'll find out on this road trip because, again, it's not exactly world beaters. You're going to be playing starting tomorrow against the Atlanta Hawks, and then obviously the Jimmy Butler revenge factor going to Miami on Tuesday. Got the Pelicans, your Pelicans, next Friday, Zion on them boys in New Orleans, and then you wrap it up next Sunday in San Antonio against the Victor Wembanyama-less, Greg Popovich-less, and De'Aaron Fox-less San Antonio Spurs. 888-957-9570. Shout out to all of those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Yeah, I could have gone for some Laughing Monk, some of the brewskis after the game last night. It was crazy. And my power went out in the fourth quarter, so that was nice. So I had to just follow along on my phone.
No way.
Yeah, just my apartment complex. It just crapped out for a little bit. That was nice.
Oh,
it wasn't even
goodness.
Like raining or like anything. I was like, what happened?
That game at the end, the final however many minutes, but, hey, the rage that I saw from Butler and Draymond Green, it was incredible. It was like Avengers. It was the Justice League. It was all those things wrapped into one.
It was everything. Everything
it
everywhere all at once.
It was incredible. It was Swiss Family Robinson at the end.
Swiss Family Robinson.
It was everything you could. It was the cavalry showing up and being ready to roll. It was unreal. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, those two, they were born to play together.
It was the Dudley boys getting the tables.
100%.
Right? Power bombing people through them.
Joe, watching the two of them, they're on the same page. First off, their tolerance level for mistakes, certain mistakes, is very thin. And
well, they demand,
I think it's not a bad thing.
No,
holding young players accountable
they demand
isn't the
excellence.
Worst thing.
They demand excellence. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but that is what you brought in with Jimmy Butler, and I said it then, and I'll say it now. He brings a different mindset and mentality to this team that no other player at the deadline could have brought. Not Kevin Durant.
No, you're right.
Not the Zach LaVines, not any of those guys. Not the Cam Johnsons. Like, please. None of them bring the mentality and that bulldog mentality of one James Butler III. Yeah, he's a little quirky. Yeah, he's going to piss you off sometimes. Yeah, he might. You know what? It might all blow up in a year and a half. But right now, it is just what the doctor ordered. This team is rallying around Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler's loving every single second of it. I see him and Buddy Hield just becoming like the stepbrothers. Like, those guys are laughing and having a good time,
Buddy
poking fun at each other.
Late.
You know what?
Huge free throws.
You know what?
Late.
He didn't shoot the ball great, but I look at the box score at the end of it, 8 points, 4 assists, being active there, being
Buddy
a willing
a
passer,
game.
5 boards, and again, to your point, get into the line.
Late,
exactly.
They, you know, like, that guy hit that bank three, and he hit free throws late. Like, Buddy Hield,
two off big offensive rebounds.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Buddy Hield is playing good. Look, all these people, like, I'm the biggest Steph fan in the world, but we also have to acknowledge, if the Warriors really want to go somewhere deep this year, they need the others humming, right?
That's why the only thing that I would be skeptical on, I brought it up to you yesterday, I was like, am I going to be able to trust in a big, multiple series, I'm talking about Joe Shasky.
Yeah.
Can a Quentin Post be stepping up? Can a Jonathan Kuminga be stepping up? Can a Brandon Podziemski? Can a Moses Moody? These are a lot of young guys that are going to be asked to do a lot of crazy things against a very deep Western Conference. And yeah, I still do have my concerns somewhat about that because you beat a Raptors team, let's face it, they're 24-46. But they're going to have a huge opportunity to draw in a lot of the fans if, again, big if Steph is going to miss some time. Like, this is a prime opportunity for some of these players. Again, we're waiting to see what happened with Stephen Curry. For just joining us right now, they're calling it a pelvic contusion. He took a hard fall yesterday in a win over the Toronto Raptors with a couple minutes left to go in the third quarter. He missed the entire fourth quarter. Apparently, according to Steve Kerr, Steph wanted to come back in. They said no. We're going to see how he is today. They're going to do an MRI. So we're all hoping Steph's going to be okay, but it doesn't look like it's, again, I'm hoping it's nothing too serious, the fact that he wanted to come in there.
One of the big knocks on this team the last couple of years is they're just too soft. And Draymond's the only real true enforcer.
Yeah.
And I'm watching right now, and like they're taking on Jimmy's identity. And I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I look, again, I know there's all these Steph fans like, Steph's got to have the ball in his hands to end the game, and everything flows through Steph. No, I disagree. Like, I think right now, Jimmy being your lead dog and this team taking on more of his identity is exactly what needed to happen. I don't want passive Jimmy at the end of the games. Yesterday, they got what I was expecting you were going to get from Chris Paul in terms of setting up your team with 5 minutes to go. Jimmy is actually better at getting to his spots on the floor, getting others clean looks. Pajemski had clean looks. Moody had clean looks. Quentin Post had clean looks. Like, even JK had one-on-ones with the ability to drive. Jimmy gets to his spots. I'm telling you, man, this team needs to continue to take on his identity. And then I'll take it a step further. When I look at Quentin Post and Pajemski, and you're asking about who's ready, the youngsters, those guys aren't shying away from the moment. Quentin Post is telling the crowd, get fired up, let's go. And I was like, let's go, QP, let's go. This young man is not afraid of the moment. He needs to play more. Pajemski, for all the things he drives everyone crazy for, you got to give it to him. The kid is fearless, and he was hitting buckets. And if he's going to be, like, when he came out, I thought he would be more of a shooter. I really did. We know he can play make. We know he can dribble. We know he can hustle. But if he's knocking down shots early in the game and he's decisive, what an element that brings to the table. Because he's giving me all this extra glue guy stuff. If he can hit a couple shots, I think it opens everything up. Moody's going to find his shot. The shot hasn't been around lately, but he's making little winning plays. JK's going to come around. I thought JK had multiple big winning plays down the stretch. Did he have moments of clunkiness? Did he shoot a few too many threes for my liking? Yeah, but we're throwing him grenades, and what I call grenades are, hey, it's the end of the shot clock. Hey, we have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Joe, here's a grenade.
Boom.
Shoot it, right? Like, those, I know you're going to look at the box score and say, JK shouldn't be shooting threes. I'm telling you, watch the flow of the 24-second clock. He's getting the ball late in the shot clock saying, bail us out. It will all come into play. And I think Jimmy and Butler need to play more overlapping minutes. And also, Dre and Jimmy need to ride Kuminga. You saw yesterday, Jimmy Butler was like, throw me the ball.
Yep.
Throw me the ball. And Kuminga didn't throw him the ball. You throw it to Jimmy, you're going to get it back.
Yeah.
That's part of the learning experience of playing with them. But he's only been back a couple games. We're going to need Kuminga to take a step forward. And with Steph out, I think he can do it.
Do you believe 720 today, the fastest growing game show in the history of sports talk radio, do you believe at 720, shameless shout out 745, remember, shameless shout outs are about you guys, not us, and it's the same number to call or text this morning, 888-957-9570, as always it is, it's 888-957-9570, the same number to call or text, plus in studio, the one, the only, you love him, Bonte Hill, 9 o'clock for the full hour, can't wait for that. Courtesy of the River Islands guest line, as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't time for you to discover the islands. We've got a couple calls we'll get to on the other side.
Draymond was freaking amazing.
I mean,
I'm so, like, I crushed this guy for like 3 years. I thought he was done as a shooter. I thought he was done. Joe, I thought he was cooked. And you know what? Not only is he not cooked, the guy looks like he's so rejuvenated. Whatever the fountain of youth is, whatever Jimmy brought to the table, maybe it's the coffee. I don't know. Draymond looks incredible. Dude. Look, dude, when you crush someone, you have to give them their due, their flowers. Draymond has been spectacular offensively. Spectacular.
And that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Spring Water.
Dub Nation, it's Quinton Post. You're listening to the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
It's the Post, man.
Oh, all I do is there it is. No matter what, let's go. I hope McNeese comes out to this next time. Amir Khan, where are you at? That's right. Let's go. QP3, they're calling him. 22 minutes off the bench last night. 6-10 overall, 6-9 from beyond the arc. 18 points for one Quentin Post. Friend of the program, as you know, Joe Shasky. The Flying Dutchman, as I call him. You know, we were just talking about our love for Ajax, the professional soccer team out of Amsterdam, where Quentin Post hails from. And again, the big story for just joining us this morning is Spadoni at Shasky. It's a non-payday Friday, but a Friday nonetheless, so we're fired up. You know, there's a little in the back of our minds. We're concerned, obviously. Stephen Curry took a hard fall yesterday. They're calling it a pelvic contusion. So we'll monitor that. We'll, any news info related, we'll hit the breaking news sounder. We'll bring it right to you whenever it happens. But the big story yesterday is when Steph went out, Jimmy stepped up. Draymond stepped up. Moses Moody had a play. Buddy Hield had a play. Everyone stepped up in the Chef's absence, and it was a total team win, and a grinded out win, because for moments of that game, I was like, are they for real right now? And they've done this a couple times, and it's the NBA. It happens. The Toronto Raptors, they have a lot of talent on that team.
Scotty Barnes is so good.
No, they have talent. Like,
so good.
Anyone can lose to anyone on any given night. Like, that's just, that, yeah, that's the league. But having said all of that, Joe Shasky, another triple-double, the second for Jimmy Butler. You're 16-2. You're 16-2 when he plays as a Golden State Warrior. Can you believe that?
No.
14 games over 500. Draymond Green, the most three-point attempts he's ever committed in his entire NBA career. The last time he had even close to it, 2017. He attempted 11 three-point attempts.
The only thing I've
13 seen against the Bulls in 2014. 2014, he had 13 attempts.
Like, the only thing that comes close to this, like, late career offensive surge, honestly, the only guy, it's like a Brandon Crawford 2021 season.
Yeah, it's not a bad
where
comp.
He was, like,
that's
cooked
not bad
offensively for multiple years.
And it was just amazing.
And then out of nowhere, he was unreal. Like, unbelievable.
Was he an All-Star that year, too?
2021, I don't know, but he just had a complete resurgence. And it feels like Draymond Green is literally having that exact same thing happen to him. Now, Jimmy, you know, it's interesting when you get a great player, like you think you know their game, but then you watch him every single night for like multiple weeks up into like a month, and you notice all the little subtleties that they do really well. Jimmy Butler is such a throwback player. His ability in traffic to use his body to create space and create angles is such a throwback thing. He does this thing with his butt where guys are like coming off these like little DHOs, these dribble drive handoffs, and he'll like fake it. And you have all these people mashing in, and guys are trying to press up against him. And he uses his butt old school style. Kobe did this. Other great ISO perimeter players do this. A lot of guys in the current game don't, though. He uses his butt to just like back off. You're not going to reach in. I'm going to be able to not only get my shot off, you're going to foul me because you're leaning over. I'm using my butt as leverage, and I'm able to continue to pivot my foot and get to the spots on the floor that I want. I'm still able to make a pass somewhere in a lane that I want because I'm creating angles. It's hard to explain, but it's this triple threat ability. I love watching Jimmy. He also leaves his feet a lot going into the lane, and then instead of throwing a chest pass, he throws a really nice bounce pass to whoever's out on the outside perimeter. And that's why a lot of his passes don't get intercepted. He's just a stud. He's a freaking stud.
Want another Jimmy Butler? I love when we get these.
He's a triple-double machine on this team.
The player notables, I love getting these. Sam Lovin, Prince Mob. Jimmy Butler became the fourth player in franchise history to record 10-plus points, 10-plus rebounds, 10-plus assists, two or more steals, and two or more blocks in a single game since Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Chris Mullin did it, and that's the only other three. Those are three Hall of Famers.
The end of the game,
the Warriors are 12-0 in those games.
That felt like a pickup game or a backyard game against. Was like, just give me that.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
And by the way, Draymond's done that nine times. Draymond's done that nine times.
I mean, who would have thought Draymond and Jimmy Butler should have been paired together earlier?
Well, we all thought it was just going to be funny. Like when we first thought the trade, let's keep it a buck. Like, yeah, this might work. It might be great.
And they might hate each other.
Or like we were so desperate just for content, we were just like, you know, it might not work, and that might be content nonetheless. If they blow up and fight each other, like that was the thing we were talking about. But when you really think about it, that seems silly because these are just two high IQ and high intensity guys. And yeah, that could be bad. But more often than not, when the goal is just to win, and that's what Jimmy Butler came here to do, was just win.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he ingratiated himself into the fan base and to the community so well when his opening presser was just like, give the ball to Steph, get out of the way. He understood who the real alpha was on this team. But now we're finding out that not only is he unselfish, but when he needs to be, quote unquote, and again, you say selfish is a bad thing. No. Sometimes you need to be in life, Joe Shasky. You need to be a little selfish and give me the ball and get out of the way. His ability to calm things down, not only for the players around him, the coaching staff. He calms me down if I'm a fan watching him. Like, I want him to have the ball. I feel at ease. When's the last time you felt like that in the closing
Kevin
minutes of
Durant.
A game? There you go.
And
Kevin Durant.
I would say
2020. Not saying they're the same player, but he gives you
there's
the
a
vibes.
Frenetic. Look, it. Not to diss Steph in any way. All-time legend. But there's a frenetic pace of play that he plays with. And there's just, like, as he's coming off ball, and you're waiting for him to get the shot, and you're waiting
for
him to...
He's so quick, too, the way he plays game. Like, and he has to do that to create separation a lot of the time.
It's chaotic.
Yes.
Jimmy's methodical. The way I would describe what I think needs to happen, and look, this is just my opinion. I love Steph. He's an all-time player. Is LeBron an all-time player?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. When he was paired up with Dwayne Wade... I thought everything needed to go through Dwayne Wade to end the game. That doesn't mean LeBron wasn't going to hit shots. It doesn't mean LeBron wasn't going to make great passes and get out in transition and get dunks late in games. I'm just saying that, like, the template was, hey, when things get bottled up and we need a bucket, we're going to go through Dwayne Wade, and he'll make the decisions.
Right. He had to learn his lesson after that Mavs run because he was too passive.
Exactly.
So like, there's a give and take there that LeBron had to learn after losing to the Dallas Mavericks on the run. Because what were everyone saying after that run? That he just, like, barely attempted any shots in that final game.
What about with Dwayne Wade and Shaq? Dwayne Wade and Shaq is another great example. Shaq was dominant for, you know, 40 minutes of the game, 46 minutes of the game, and then the final couple minutes, it was Dwayne Wade. Same thing with Shaq and Kobe, right? So this is not exclusive to just Steph Curry. I'm just saying, when I watch this team, and there's going to be times where everything runs through Steph on particular nights when he's got it going. But when push comes to shove and things get ugly, I truly believe for this team to go where they want to go, and I think they can get there. I do. I actually think they can get there. It got to go through Jimmy. It's got, and that doesn't mean Steph's not going to be right there catching passes from him off ball and hitting big daggers. I'm saying I want the ball in Jimmy's hands to just calm things down. And if he determines it's a midi, if he determines it's a lob to Dre, or he throws it, goes to the block and he's going to, that's fine. I'm just telling you, he gets the ball at the end of these games. And I think over the next week and a half, however long Steph's out, it's not the worst thing to get a little taste of what it might look like in the playoffs.
And I would love for him to actually, and again, we're talking about this, and he was great. He was awesome. He had a triple-double. Can he find his shot, please, for the love of God? He was 4-15 overall yesterday. 1-of-2. He only attempted 3-point shots. He didn't make one. And I get it. He was 7-10 at the line. And again, make your free throws, people. But if he could find his shot, like, heading into the playoffs, that would be great, because he really hasn't had it as a Golden State Warrior. And that's, again, another thing. If he adds on to that and starts actually hitting at a normal clip for him, that just unlocks everything else for this team. It's like, oh, now we got an efficient Jimmy Butler. Yeah, night-night, rest of the league, night-night.
He's a closer on both ends. That's the thing that's so, like, you, not only do you get, like, the offensive facilitating, you also get unbelievable timely rebounds in defense. Like, you basically have two free safeties now with Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler.
And I had Moses Moody getting a key block there at the end, too.
Kuminga, like, got a huge rebound in traffic.
Yep.
You know, and if Kuminga can continue to get situational rebounds, that's what's going to endear him to his teammates, the coach, and the fans.
888-957-9570. We'll get to some calls on the other side. I promise. Nick and Berkeley, I see you. The coach and Vallejo, they are fired up. Are you fired up?
I'm so fired up.
I mean, we got Do You Believe coming up at 7:20. It's the oldest question we ask in the history of sports talk. Do you believe in this Golden State Warriors team? We're going to do that at 7:20. Shameless shout out, 7:45. Again, it's about you for shameless shout outs, not about us. And it's the same number to call or text. It's 888-957-9570. You shout out whoever, whatever you want. You shout out the Oakland Roots. You shout out Joe Shasky. You shout out Stephen Curry, making sure he's okay. You shout out Jimmy Butler. Shout out your girlfriend, your husband, whatever.
I got
you shout out businesses. There you go. He's got a special one.
I got a
one.
Really special one that's near
awesome.
And dear to my heart.
That's great. And then we got Bonte Hill joining us at 9 o'clock in studios. He joins us each and every Friday in studio at 9 o'clock. Bonte Hill, host of Warriors pre- and post-game live for NBC Sports Bay Area. Also host here at 95.7 The Game. And that's what's coming up in The Game, brought to you by Sarah Monty.
What is Daxer you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Double screen up shot by Pajemski and Draymond. Now Butler beats Draymond, left corner, hits a three. Turner was there, but Draymond knocked it down. 5 threes tonight for Draymond. 21 points to lead the Dubs.
Nobody gives your boy P-Lo, and this is the Morning Roast with Joe Spadocci and the Butcher Boy. Let's go.
I still love that. Only P-Lo could make Joe Spadoni turn Japanese. Turning Japanese, Joe Spadocci.
There you Joe, go. Shout out my peeps in the 707. Today, Pliny the Younger 2025 is released, and there are people in line. Shout out the 707 what, Sonoma County, baby.
What is Pliny the Younger?
Well, there's Pliny the Elder, and then there's Pliny the Younger.
What is that?
It's a specific beer, correct? I don't want to mess this up because the beer people, the snobs are going to come rolling in.
I only go to Laughing Monk Brewing. Brother, so if Laughing Monk Brewing has it, I'll go. Do they?
It's Russian River Brewery. See. Okay, you know the Russian River is very near and dear to my heart. And they only release it a couple of, what is it, once a year? Multiple times a year?
Once a year.
Okay. And you can only buy like 2 6-packs or 2 12-packs, right?
You can buy one glass, one pint glass if you go, and people wait 8 hours for it.
But I thought you could TV buy... Right now, Michael Moore?
I'm not sure what you can take home.
Okay. Maybe I was wrong. I thought you could take the... Because I know there's always the line every single year. And then there's Russian River Brewery that will have, you know, certain things on tap every
year. It's the new iPhone is basically the same. It's the same
for
thing.
For beer drinkers, yeah.
For beer drinkers, okay.
It's like
it messes you up.
Yeah. It's like that cookie cream.
Spoiler alert, alcohol messes you up. But it's an IPA, which are the very
triple
heavy.
IPA.
Oh, triple.
So
excuse
if I'm
me.
Joe the Elder, you're Joe the Younger.
There you go. Which apparently is, you know, the better version, right? So I'm just kidding, Joe. You're cooking this morning, bud.
I know.
Hey, You know what? We're like Jimmy and Draymond, aren't we?
Well, the two smartest players in basketball?
Thank you. You said it, not me. Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Let's go to the phones.
Let's do it.
These guys have been hanging on real tight. They're excited. They're fired up.
Give it to
me. Let's go to Coach. Come on, get a starters. Coach and Vallejo. 117-114, Golden State Warriors, 41-29, 16-2, Coach, in the Jimmy Butler era. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, I love Mr. Logical, Mr. Emotion. I love you both. And because you do look at the game objectively. Now, what I saw last night, and Jackie, I want you to help me with this, is that you at least look at Jonathan Kuminga and what he does well and don't nitpick what he does wrong. So last night, he missed a couple of threes in one play. He had a wide open three, had about 15 seconds. He wouldn't shoot it. He waited till Steph uncovered. He passed him the ball. I saw great IQ on that on Jonathan Kuminga, and I think that needs to be commended. Now, also, I think Jimmy Butler has to watch it. He says the Warriors need to play perfect. Mm. No, they don't. I don't want Kuminga to be cautious out there. I don't want him to be thinking out there. I want him to play. One play, Butler yelled at Gui Santos because he went the wrong play and Butler threw the ball out of bounds. Butler needs to be careful. You can't bark at these guys all the time. You got to strategically bark at these young guys.
I would agree.
Okay?
I would agree. But I think in that moment, let me let you finish. But
tight game.
I'm going to be real with you. In that moment, considering the last two games where you had long stretches of multiple turnovers in a row that led to the other team taking a big lead against you, like, I understand, like, them in the moment, like, losing. It was like 5 minutes to go, 6 minutes to go, because I'm going to be real. I didn't like taking out Quentin Post and not going to Jonathan Kuminga. He went to Gui Santos and Kevon Looney. I'm talking about the coach did, and I didn't think that was the right decision. I would have went right back to Kuminga. I don't know why he went to Gui in between going to Kuminga.
I agree to that, and that's Steve Kerr. You know, and lastly, I tell you what I saw last night and what they were missing was GP2 and Andrew Wiggins. Mm. Because as much as you guys like to, well, not so much you guys, like to point out the virtues of Podziemski, he cannot stop the point guard on the other team. Last night, Toronto, those point guards, Quigley and the other point guard, they consistently cooked Podziemski driving
to
the lane.
He got blown by a lot. He did. You're right.
Part of his game. Thanks, Coach.
Coach, I think the reason why he played a lot last night is they needed that other ball handler, and he was hitting shots.
Yeah. No, they definitely
had he not been hitting shots. I don't know if he would have been that guy.
That's a great point. And we didn't bring up Gary Payton, who was a DNP, sore left knee for GP2. By the way, there would have been like multiple masks at that point. Like, I mean, just real quick,
the Masked Singer meets the Phantom of the Opera.
It was the Phantom of the. It was Bane. Like, gee, like how many guys needed masks on Toronto? Jesus, how many nose jobs were happening up there? They definitely missed the on-ball defense of one Gary Payton II. That's not a strength of Brandon Podziemski. And again, I bring this up, and we're celebrating a big win, and we're going to find out more about these young guys as this road trip starts, potentially without Stephen Curry being a part of it. We'll see pelvic contusion for one Stephen Curry. But that's going to be a thing come playoff. Like, teams are going to isolate and try to hunt a Podziemski. They're going to try to hunt a Quentin Post. They're going to try to hunt some of these guys and see if they could, you know, stop the big boys in the Western Conference with a lot of bigs, a lot of size, and a lot of speed and athleticism.
Look, not every player is a complete player on both ends of the floor.
No, and we're not saying he is, but that's...
No, but I think what ends up happening in Warrior Land is that it's either you're the greatest player who ever lived and you have no flaws, or, oh my God, let's point out every single one of your flaws.
That's fans in general. But yeah, I hear you.
I'm not here for it. Pods had a great game in the first half, and then I thought in the second half he did a lot of little winning plays. Now,
That being said, is Scotty Barnes like going off the way he's going off? We had GP2 out there.
He's a 6'8 monster.
Well, I'm just saying.
I think that's a tough matchup.
It is. Or an Emmanuel Quickly, if you will.
Here's the thing.
He had a couple quick buckets.
He did.
But not having
a rim protector alongside, you know, Podziemski, I think it's tough. And he wants to get up in quickly and get him at the top of the key. And he did blow by him. He's a fast player. And, and that's not a strength of Pods. Pods also drew a couple of charges. You know, he give it, then he take it away. Not everyone is going to be excellent on both ends. And so, like, I think the tolerance level from some of the young players by the fan base.
Totally.
We got to relax a little.
No, totally.
We got to relax a little.
But that being said, Joe Shasky, like, that's why I still have slight pause. Like, and again, we're excited. We're happy. We're feeling great. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here. It is the young guys ultimately come playoff time that's going to be the difference between winning and losing a given series. And it's going to come down to those guys. I know what I'm going to be getting with Jimmy. I know what I'm going to be getting with Steph. And I know what I'm going to be getting with Draymond. I'm going to get high-level IQ basketball greatness with those guys. It's a mixed bag everywhere else, and it's going to be a lot of prove it. But that being said, you could say that for the rest of the Western Conference contenders, right? We're going to try to find out a lot about the others with Oklahoma City, with the Lakers. Like, are you going to be trusting Jackson Hayes as a starter? Like, that's baked into it. They're going to be relying on him a lot. So I say that to say it's not uniquely a Golden State problem.
I agree.
But we're going to find out a lot about this team in the coming months. But we're shining a light on the young guys after last night's win, because that is a game, again, they lose a couple months ago. And Coach Vallejo brought it up. He was talking about Jimmy Butler after the game. This is what he had to say in regards to the Warriors having to play perfect if Steph is going to be out.
Whether he's with us or whether he's not, hopefully he is. But if he isn't, that's just more perfect basketball that we're going to have to play. We can't afford to turn the ball over. We can't afford to foul, because we don't have the one individual that can, like, automatically get us back into the game. But we want our guy with us.
By the way, with Stephen Curry off the court in the Jimmy Butler era, Warriors are a plus 60.
Where's the line, what he said? Like, Bill Walsh had a great line. I love this line. I use it all the time when I'm coaching, not to pretend that I'm Bill.
Well, you know.
We strive for perfection at practice and in games, knowing it's unattainable, yet along the way, we'll touch some greatness.
Yeah.
And if your standard is perfection, you know, like, no one's perfect. You can't be perfect. It's impossible. It's an imperfect sport. If you know that, though, but if your standard is that setting, you're going to be a really good team. Right? It's when you settle for good and you settle for mediocre, you're a bad team.
It's the guys that stay late. It's want to complete more routes. I didn't like that I dropped the ball there. Let's keep going. 100 more balls. I didn't like that I missed a free throw there. We're going to do another 100 more. Like, it's the gym rats, and it's that mindset and mentality. And that's the thing. Golden State Warriors, and I don't know why people are like the coach of Vallejo is a huge Warriors fan. I love that mindset. That should be the mindset of the Golden State Warriors, right?
But to me, but to me also, like, it's not like Jimmy came in screaming and yelling at people. It's been a couple of weeks now. And yeah, there's a situation here and there. He got into it with Kuminga. He got into it with Gee. And got into it. I mean, he just voiced his displeasure.
Why are we getting all upset about that?
No, I love that, because to me, they needed a different voice outside of Draymond to hold people accountable. Since when is a Hall of Famer telling a young guy what to do on a particular play in the middle of the action? Since when's that a bad thing?
When Stephen Curry is out, it's Jimmy Butler's team. Let's just keep it a buck. When Stephen Curry is out, it is Jimmy Butler's team.
Now look,
it's not Draymond's, it's not Steve Kerr's, it's not Moses Moody's, it's not Jonathan Kuminga's. When Stephen Curry is out, it's Jimmy Butler's team, and you all better get out of the way and do what he says. Look, he's the leader.
There is a fine line on, like, ripping every young player at every single turn. I don't think that's what we're seeing. What we're seeing is, like, hey man, let's go.
Yes.
Let's go. I'm coming to the lane. You popped out. I need you to go to the corner. I need you to go to the corner on that. Next one, you go to the corner. They're in the middle of the game. They're trying to win. They just lost Steph. Everybody's fired up. Like, have you played sports, people? Have you played sports? This is part of the creative tension that happens during the heat of competition. And I'm not even talking about when millions are on the line.
Exactly.
Millions and legacies and all that stuff. And so, yeah, Jimmy Butler's kind of cut from that Tom Brady cloth.
Yeah, that's exactly who I was thinking
of. Not everybody is going to be like Steph Curry, where they're just a gracious teammate.
No.
You know, like, that's why him and Draymond get along so well.
Exactly.
They're kind of like see the game the same way, and I'm not mad at it.
I'm not mad at Nick and Berkeley. It's been a minute, Nick.
What's
and Berkeley.
Up, Nick?
Where you been, man? You're
what's
almost Spadoni and Chasky.
Oh, man, Chastarelli and Spadoni. You guys are killing me, man. Hey, look, man, first of all,